I will say good morning, folks. Welcome back. One way or another, it's a Friday morning, and we are going to be live. At least some of us will be live here this morning. This is Mark Hall, and I'm live from now snowy southern Colorado, where we got about 4 inches overnight. We need the moisture. And Jeff Gilbert will not be with us today. At least I don't think he will. He's suffering from some major dental issues, got a problem with a tooth. And we'll pray that he gets better soon and is back with us. In any case, we do have Tim Kern online. That's a good thing. And we have plenty to talk about it. So let me say good morning, Tim. How are you doing? And what's at the top of your hit list?
Well, the president has just declared that he's got a little bit of money for the wall. And what's been going on with the wall is the only thing that's been authorized so far has been rehabilitation. So they've been working on fixing up the existing wall. But he said he will indeed. In fact, he laid the whole thing out. He said he's going to declare a national emergency about what's left of the wall. And he's going to get sued in the Ninth Circuit, even though that's not relevant. And he's going to lose in the Ninth Circuit and may or may not lose on appeal. And it'll go to the Supreme Court. And he said maybe then they'll get a fair ruling and the wall will get built. So there. But he went through step by step. He said they'll sue me in the Ninth Circuit. And he also said Nancy knows walls work. Chuck knows walls work. And he said all that we get is just delay.
All right.
Now, I've also been watching this on ABC online, and I've been watching the blog rolling by, and there's nothing there except what people are, they're just calling him names. They say, oh, look at that pig lie and all this kind of stuff. But not one of them has any ideas. Not one of them actually even has any countervailing facts. So it's almost funny that there's nothing against the wall except hate.
Reason doesn't
work against irrationality.
I that part is true. I think it's worse than that. I was ready to say this morning that it almost looks to me like the team that is trying to force Civil War 2.0 is essentially winning because they have gone so over the top, you know, whether it's the watermelon Green New Deal or the other things that are being pushed, including the Southern invasion, and that's what it is. You know, you cannot look at this debate, I think is where you were headed to, without saying these people don't care about a wall. What they want is they are encouraging an invasion. If you read the specifics of the so-called border deal and what's going on here, I would encourage, and I think I'm not alone, there's several major pundits who said don't sign this bill because essentially there are not just one but a whole bunch of poison pills in there. There's more money for Planned Parenthood than for the wall. More money for foreign health services by a factor of two than for the wall. The wall construction, says a piece that I saw from the Gateway Pundit, is only allowed in the Rio Grande Valley sector. They are decreasing the number of beds and in basically so many ways moving people that managed to get past the now reduced number of ICE forces into the interior of the country where they'll never go away. Literally everything in here is about saying we're going to encourage, we're going to invoke an invasion across the southern border. This is, let's just call it what it is. This is treason. This is people saying we don't want to protect the borders. We want, in fact, to have an invasion because that's how we win, is we get more people that hate everything that we want to destroy anyway, the rule of law.
Well, I'm saying that they're getting their support merely from hatred of the orange man, who happens to be our president.
Well, that's true, too.
It has not. If you ask these haters if they want people to come across the border, they'll say they'll be ambivalent about it. Half will say yes, half will say no. They don't have any reasons. The only thing they know is they hate Trump. That's it. And that is not a real good, long-lasting strategy. On the other hand, it's tremendously effective because they don't have to know anything. All they have to know is hate Trump and everything will be fine. That's what they're being trained, and that's about the limit of their attention span.
Well, and it's the limit of some intelligence, too. You know, our favorite idiot, literally the poster girl for I know nothing, 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 and I don't intend to learn anything, occasional cortex, is, it's the leader of that crowd. I saw this morning, Tim. It was a reprise of things that we've seen before. You mentioned the fact that Trump is at least laying out, yes, they're going to sue. They're going to sue in the Ninth Circus. That's the proper pronunciation, in order to stop this. And it's, I think, instructive to people to note, both of us have no doubt known that Dr. Eugene Schroeder, his thesis, one of many, basically, as to how the country's been destroyed, dates back to March the 9th of 1933, and the fact that there was a state of national emergency declared, and it continues to this day. There are at least, there have been 50-some declared over the last few years. 31 or 32, depending upon whose numbers you believe, are still in effect. And they basically...
We have nothing but national emergencies. The real emergency, of course, is the fact that Congress has abrogated their responsibility for the last 50 years, allowed the executive to get to be so big that now the Congress doesn't know how to legislate, and they refuse to.
Exactly. I think the key here. People don't understand. They have been dumbed down to the point where they don't recognize national emergency after national emergency after national emergency is declared for trivial stuff by comparison. A blocking of Iranian government property, prohibiting certain transactions on this property, that property. Pick a country, they're prohibited from having property transactions. Emergency after emergency, all of them trivial. Compared with the fact that there are literally invaders coming across the border en masse being encouraged, and not a word from any of these people about, oh, we can't let the president's imperial pen declare this or that or you name it emergency. So it's the hypocrisy here that if people knew about it, ought to really explain how far gone this situation is.
But once again, we're missing the main point, which is nobody's looking at anything that is rational. This isn't about doing things. This is about blocking the president. If he said if he didn't want the wall, that wall would get built in 20 minutes. Nancy and Chuck could find all kinds of reasons why the president should be impeached for not wanting a wall.
You got it. All right, well, let me go through a couple of more things that are on the various lists here. In the budget deal, if he signs it, that are downright incredible with respect to the poison pills. No funding for additional field personnel, no more ICE agents. Expands the alternatives to detention program. So instead of housing family units at the border, there'll be more busing of them inland. All kinds of other related stuff. Even prohibitions against building the wall in lots of places. And to get this one, Breitbart is reporting, the bill allows Mexican cartel-connected Texas counties, in other words, places where the officials, including the sheriff, have already been convicted of corruption and taking bribes from the Mexican cartels to block the wall in those counties. So it's all about people literally saying, hey, we're going to put enough stuff in here that even if Trump tries to build it, we'll say he's violating this and that and the other provision. He can't sign this thing, I don't believe, with these poison pills in it.
Within the last 20 minutes, he said he is going to sign it.
I know.
And declare the national emergency. The national emergency is the fact that the legislative branch of government is treasonous. That's the national emergency.
Well,
the wall isn't the problem. It's Congress.
You make a great point. Now that's one that I hadn't intended to go there, but I think it's we could spend the whole hour talking about this situation. Certainly when it comes to the old QAnon stuff, which I don't think either of us believe. I've always thought that was a complete smokescreen and a lie and probably a false information, disinformation. But this claim that he's playing, 3D, 4D, 70, 2D chess and that there are all these things in plan, I think if there's anything that really does bug these traitors, it's the fact that if he declares a national emergency and, in fact, uses the military to go round up a bunch of traitors, that would probably be the most effective thing he could do. And I don't hear any talk about that, other than from the alternative press, and I haven't seen any action on it yet. But at least it's interesting.
Well, it is interesting. I don't think that's going to happen.
Neither of us do.
I don't think anybody's going to get rounded up. I don't think any justice is ever going to happen until the so-called next civil war comes along. But you know,
Tuesday next, maybe at this rate,
it's not going to be a civil war like the last one, where people were breaking away from the nation. It's going to be a civil war to restore the Constitution to the illegal government that we have running the place right now.
Well, that sounds awfully optimistic, Tim. I hope you're right, because I think the civil war is on tap. I'm just not clear that it'll be quite that favorable or obvious to folks what they're fighting for.
I don't think there's enough education in this country that's resident in the citizenry. I don't think they have enough education to fight for something anyway.
I agree.
I think all there is a way to fight against stuff. It's a very destructive, childish, horrible situation.
Well, okay, I completely concur there. I don't know if there's anything more to talk about with the wall other than the fact that you mentioned the $8 billion number. There are a lot of places that Trump can get to a billion here and a billion there. There was even at least a serious suggestion from Ted Cruz saying, hey, El Chapo was convicted this week. He's got billions of bucks. Why not seize that? Neither of us are in favor of civil asset forfeiture, obviously. But I guess if there was ever an exception to be made, he could probably be at the top of that list. But to build the wall with his stolen funds, restolen.
Well, as they say, he's not going to be needing them anytime soon.
Yeah. And, so, by the way, how do you feel about that? I know we're both not fans of the unconstitutionality of civil asset forfeiture. But, if there was ever a poster child for it, it would be this guy. Or maybe Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I'll leave Nancy out of it for the time being, but civil asset forfeiture, in its classic and satanic version, has to do with assets that are yours.
Yes.
And that are acquired not through fraud, not through criminal activity. When the assets are acquired strictly through criminal activity, I'm a lot more liberal about it.
Okay. I think both of us would say, yeah, certainly. The trouble is that's essentially true of most taxes, say the libertarians. It's an advance auction of stolen goods. We've heard all those terminologies. So El Chapo is basically just playing government on his own, stealing money. And some would argue, he's stealing money. On the other hand, these are people that are wanting to give him lots of money in order to support their drug habit. The problem is, real briefly, civil asset forfeiture is based on an ancient medieval pagan principle called Deodan, and you can look it up in the law dictionary, which literally says that a property commits the crime. So you have law and supposedly court cases like United States versus 1207 Magnolia Road, or United States versus $24,352 in cash, where they charge the property with a crime. Well, the property doesn't have a right to face its accuser, to a speedy trial, to trial by jury, or anything else. Makes it real easy, since the property can't talk, to just incarcerate it. And guess who gets to use it then?
Absolutely. Then the other question with somebody like Chop, where does that money go? Do we send that to his children? What do we do with that money?
Well, the children probably already have a few billion of their own squirreled away somewhere. Hey, I guess if we're talking about stolen property, I'll throw this in the mix and we'll continue on the same trail. But the new communist governor of the People's Republic of California, Newsom, has essentially announced he's going to cancel this boondoggle of a bullet train, $3.5 billion worth, that the Obama regime gave him. But whereupon Trump said, well, if you're going to cancel the project, give us back the money, and we'll build a wall with it, or whatever the case might be. And now the communist governor says, no, we're going to keep it, even if we have to pretend to build a wall, or build a train, sorry. A train to nowhere.
Well, wouldn't that be, well, San Francisco isn't nowhere. It's just a horrible place.
It's a place where the train could be one way. People that want out. Well, I guess there's a lot of vagrants, of drug addicts, and public street defecators that would want in.
Well, I'll tell you, about a year ago, I went to L.A. for a conference. And
sorry to hear that.
Public transportation against everybody else's better judgment. And nobody pays in their rapid transit system. Everybody simply jumps the gates, and it's acceptable. And the few guys that do pay, they'll open the door, and they'll let 39 other people in. We got on the bus. We were the only two, Anglos on the bus. And we started to give the guy our electronic cards, which are the passes. You load up the card with some money, and then they swipe at it each time you use it.
Swipe is a good word.
And they, first off, they have two guys on the bus. They have a driver, and then they have sort of a conductor or a toll taker. And he just waved us on. He wouldn't take our money.
Wow.
So
guess he felt bad about stealing from some folks. That's what you call an honest crook.
He didn't take anybody's money, and this bus is running along with 30 or 40 people in it, and I bet there weren't three fares in the box.
Wow. Well,
why public transportation doesn't work. Well, it's institutionally set up not to.
Precisely. Tim, I did an entire show yesterday or the day before having to do with the socialist move and the fact that it has literally gone beyond the pale in so many respects. You probably saw, and I know we don't want to talk about occasional cortex, but the new Green Deal, which was such a farce that it was literally laughed offline. And even Bill Gates, of all people, socialist that he is, said, you know, there are some extremists that are giving us a bad name recently. And she was forced to take it down and deny that it was ever there. It was so jokingly, evilly stupid.
Well, I've read the whole thing, and it truly is stupid, including things like making sure that everybody has a living wage, including those unable or unwilling to work. Now, how do you get a living wage if you don't have a job?
Go to San Francisco, poop on the streets, and get your needles secondhand.
Or you could probably just go to Congress.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? They're turning Congress into an open cesspool. Back to the theme that I was originally headed on. I think what we're saying, Tim, is we look at all of this stuff, and you made the point, that if you actually try to understand what's going on here, having an attack of logic, it no longer works. Because logic has nothing to do about it. Facts have nothing to do about it. Law has nothing to do with anything that's going on. So for go ahead.
I was going to say it's whoever can scream the loudest. And that's not any measure of intelligence.
No, and we're rapidly getting to the point where it's going to be whoever has more bullets in their gun, if they were smart enough to get them while they can, or, that is, if they sign up to work for a three-letter agency so that they'll have them when Big Brother decides the peons aren't allowed to. On every front, I guess what really bugs me is that we're seeing this move. The wheels are not only off the wagon is in free fall at this point, and we are headed towards some kind of a climax real fast. And I think that's part of the reason why so many people are upset that the president isn't calling it out more than he is. I do think it was encouraging this morning when you said he's at least telling the American people, look, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and obviously they are. But when it happens, at least people will see, oh, yeah, he knew that the Ninth Circus was going to do exactly what they did, and he called it.
Yeah, and he remains at the door of the Rose Garden. You know, he's talking right now with reporters. And the problem is reporters are trying to make some rationality out of the lunatic fringe. The president's trying to address impossible questions, which, you know, are asked only out of ignorance. And then the press is going to come back saying, well, we asked the questions and he wouldn't give us an answer. It's bizarre. You couldn't pass this through a high school debating class.
They don't have those anymore, do they? Unless it's maybe just, you know, see who can yell louder. I had this discussion earlier, Tim, with so many folks. How long has it been, do you think, since there's been a civics class taught? Certainly in most major cities in the United States.
Well, they call it civics, but it's usually something about civil activism.
Okay.
How a bill gets passed. You run to Washington, put half a million people on the mall, scream at your congressman, threaten everybody else, and that's how a bill gets passed. You know, it's nuts. And if you don't like it, take it to the Ninth Circuit.
Right. And whether it's constitutional or not doesn't matter. Whether it's done, none of that matters anymore.
No,
it
doesn't.
All right. I got to go here. I'm almost reluctant, but another criminally evil individual got his 15 minutes of fame this week, and I don't want to give any credit to the so-called investigative reporters or news shows that he was on. But the disgraced and finally fired Andrew McCabe, much compromised, came out and. The title of the article from The Atlantic is "Every Day is a New Low in Trump's White House." Mm-hmm. And he went on to describe his first day on the job as acting criminal in charge of the criminally evil FBI, Federal Bunglers of Investigation. And he says he got a call from the Oval Office. "Presidents do not typically call FBI directors," he said. I'm going to read this. "There should be no direct contact between the president and the director except for national security purposes. The reason is simple. Investigators and prosecutions need to be pursued without a hint of suspicion." Can I read that without gagging? "That someone who wields power has put a thumb on the scale." Good grief. These people are on the take so transparently that to even say that, he ought to, you know, his nose ought to grow.
It is absolutely amazing the cheek of these people. These are the same FBI that gave Hillary 900 files that ensured her immunity for the next 25, 30 years. Fortunately, that 25, 30 years is coming to an end. But I don't know how long it's going to take. I just hope I live long enough to see some justice come to the FBI, folks. I lost all faith in them back at Ruby Ridge.
You and me both.
The rest of it was lost at Waco and the cover-up from Waco and all of that mishigas that went on. Thank you, Chuck Schumer, again.
Well, and the fellow named William Barr, too. We ought to mention that. When it came to Lon Horiucci, a name we both know, the fellow who executed Vicki Weaver at Ruby Ridge, he then went to Waco. Our late mutual friend, Mike McNulty, documented all of that over a period of years. And, in fact, Lon Horiucci was on the crew along with Delta Force that executed every single person that managed to escape the conflagration there at Waco. They bulldozed the bodies back in. And Lon Horiucci was later charged with murder by the state of Idaho, and William Barr played a key role in making sure that he escaped and got into the witness protection program and is now probably sipping a Mai Tai somewhere at taxpayer expense.
Well, if anybody needs witness protection, it's Lon. Because if I find him, bad things are going to happen, and I'll make that public.
Okay. Well,
he was, as you say, right after Ruby Ridge when he killed Danny Weaver and Vicky. First after that, he was promoted. Then he went to Waco. He shot a bunch of people there.
All right. Well, what we're going to have to do is pick up the lengthy story of his destruction and evil after the break. We're at the bottom of the hour. All right, folks, welcome back. This is the
Drive Time Friday show. I'm your Colorado host, Mark Call. Tim Kern is online with me today talking about the things that are going on in the world. And sadly, it's gotten to the point where I don't think there's even an attempt to hide it anymore. The communist left, and I don't even want to call them socialist, progressive is an idiotic term. They want to progress towards the sickle and the hammer. But the motives are no longer hidden. We went to break. I interrupted Tim having to do with one of the way back stories about FBI corruption, and indeed nothing has changed, and even the same people are now being put back into positions of criminal authority. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, it's the same people are still in positions of criminal authority. The FBI has been nothing but a cover-up and arm of some very nefarious elements in government. They probably do some police work someplace, but most of what they do...
Till they get caught, and then they... they stop them.
And then they either get caught and cover up their own work, or they cover up for other criminals, such as Hillary, who do the dirty work all around. They have done nothing but try to destroy this president. So far, to no avail, but at least to some very lasting and horrible damage.
All right. Well, when we went to break, you were talking a little bit about Lon Horiuchi, and I know most listeners are probably familiar with the name. Essentially, there are indications of, let's just use the term, criminal conspiracy involving the FBI, a lot of the high-ranking people, Larry Potts, we know some of the names, that went from one criminal enterprise and one attempt to destroy the Constitution to the next. It was at Waco, of course, that Posse Comitatus was pretty much destroyed, and a whole lot of people were executed at Big Brother's hands. There was the infamous case of one of Hitler's lovers that levitated himself into Fort Marcy Park after committing suicide with a couple of bullets to the head, another Arkansas. And now William Barr, the fellow who was involved in so much of that cover-up, is on his way to being Attorney General again, kind of picking up where Janet Reno and, as you mentioned, Mr. Fast and Furious, Eric Holder, left off. Kind of makes you long for a Loretta Lynch mob, almost, because this guy may be dirtier than her.
Well, as I was saying during the break, it doesn't really matter who's in charge of what we call our Justice Department. Because there is no justice there. There is no system there. No system of justice. There's a system, all right. But it has nothing to do with justice. And just as Izvestia had no news and Pravda had no truth, our Justice Department has no justice. And I think everybody in America knows that. Some people like it, because it covers up their criminal activity. Other people don't like it because it keeps criminal activity from getting investigated and taken care of. We cannot trust any part of our government, and I think that's one of the messages. Truly, I mean, that's one of the messages that I think helped elect the president.
And the only thing I was laughing at in that sentence, Tim, was the fact when you said our government, because honestly, I don't think it's been our government for a hell of a long time. It certainly has not been a government that even pretends anymore to care about the rule of law, or the Constitution, or for crying out loud, the Bill of Rights. I got to read one or two more lines from this self-serving bit of crap, and that's the politest word I can use, folks, from Andrew McCabe. He said the following, and I'll quote it if I can get it out. This is what it was like, he said, talking about the days after the firing of the scumbag whoremeister James Comey. You could go to any floor and you'd see small groups gathering in the hallway, some people even crying. The overwhelming majority liked and admired Director Comey. I guess the way they admire Don Corleone or somebody. His personal style, the integrity of his conduct. He actually said that about a guy who is literally, among many others in the positions there, been covering up criminality at the highest levels. Now we were laboring under the same dank gray shadow that had been creeping over Washington during the few months Donald Trump had been in office. He goes on to say, get this, and this ought to literally have people wanting to, bring out the pitchforks, I guess. People do not appreciate how far we have fallen from normal standards of presidential accountability. Yeah, like when Barry Obama, Mr. Bathhouse Barry, could get away with open lie. You can keep your doctor! And so many other things, and that's not a problem. Imperial Pan, law of the land. If we don't like folks, we have them executed.
Well, it's never a problem, of course, when a Democrat does something illegal or crazy or anti-American. The loyalty is to the party. The loyalty is not to America and American interests and American goals or even American laws. And I sound like I was like I'm back on the radio after 20 years, you know, but it doesn't change. It doesn't matter. Anybody who thinks that our government, and I call it our government because we pay for it.
Oh, okay. Well, the Fed pays for it.
If we pay for it, it must be ours, right?
No. It's like saying if I have property and I pay for a gun, that it's mine. Not in New York, not in New Jersey.
Well, you can look at it another way if you say it's our government because they're the ones that govern us. Either way, it's our government. So the problem with our government is that there's only one real problem, and that is that it's so large and so powerful that it cannot help but be the enemy of us.
Okay, I mean, I can't argue with the enemy part because I think that much is clear. I'm still trying to digest when you made the party issue because certainly when a Bush crime family commits a crime, that was covered up too, and it turns out they were evidently thick as thieves, that's the right way to phrase it, with the Clintons anyway. And so many of these people that get recycled, like William Barr even, have connections with the criminal side of the other wing of the bird of prey, the R side. And note, of course, that when the same party supposedly has their man in the White House, they were nowhere to be found when it came to supporting him. Too many never Trumpers that are really just rhinos, and we've heard that term, Republicans in name only. So I differ a bit.
Republican doesn't mean anything anymore. Anyway,
exactly.
Neither does Democrat. There's no meaning to this. Those are simply different tribes that change according to whoever's at the head of the tribe. And what we have is a very, very unbalanced form of government now, where each branch isn't equal, but each branch is autonomous, which is really pretty crazy. They're all supposed to have the same goals. They're all supposed to have the same understanding and love of American principles, but they don't. They are simply in contention with each other. And of course, you know, a little bit of gridlock is good, but gridlock based on ignorance and perfidy is never a good idea.
Agreed. Well, and, you know, I have, there are many, many aspects to this. We've talked about a lot of them. For example, people that don't even put their hand on a Bible anymore, they take an oath. They have no intention of honoring that oath. Look at the FBI. The very existence of the ATF, for example, is a violation of the oath. Same thing for TSA. I don't even think they take oaths. But if they did, the whole mission of transportation sexual abuse is to gang rape the Fourth Amendment. We don't need no stinking warrants. Of course, the FBI has pioneered that along with NSA and CIA. So in so many respects, Tim, by the way, it's the one place I might disagree is we have a number of so-called executive branch agencies. They're no longer responsible to the chief executive, ironically. But they combine the three powers of legislative, executive, and judicial. Do we still have judicial? No, we have rubber stamps for the right team. But they combine all of those, and that was what the founders called the very essence of tyranny in a single branch.
Absolutely. And if you need an example that pretty much everybody can agree about, that would be the IRS.
Sure.
They make their own rules. They interpret them their own ways, depending on what they like to interpret, because no two interpretations, even an official interpretation, is no defense if they change their minds. And then, of course, they have their own courts, their own fining system, and they can sentence you to prison, all of which cannot in any rational or reasonable way be refuted. Or I should say legal way be refuted. The entire edifice is crooked to the core.
There's no rule of law
that can work.
Exactly. Well, and of course, do we need to mention that one of the Capo de Tutte criminals, Robert Mueller, good buddy of William Barr, as it turns out, and James the Whoremeister Comey, who is allegedly going to wrap up his so-called witch hunt investigation, call it what you want, it amounts to the same thing. We have the power, and we will destroy anybody we don't like, right, Roger Stone? Anyway, he's supposed to wrap it up here real soon. They haven't found anything. One of the big stories this week was the embarrassment at NBC because they didn't want to cover their own story, saying there's no there there. It was a nothing burger. And they've wasted all this time. No, they didn't. They managed to keep Hitler out of jail for a couple more years and distract
people. Well, she's going to die a free woman. You know that. There's so many of these things. I keep getting these messages. Oh, there's 71,000 sealed indictments. Well, unseal the buggers. Let's put some people in jail.
Yeah.
None of this is real. We are truly in an Orwellian world where we don't have information. We are flooded with so much information and disinformation that it's nearly impossible to sort it out. And that can't be simply an accident. It has to have something to do with a plan. And
okay.
I'm not so sure I like it.
Well, okay, since you went there, you said three or four words that kind of almost made me chuckle again about somebody dying a free woman. And immediately I thought, hey, how about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Did that happen to her already? How are we ever going to know? Because they lie through their teeth, and they're not about, we've got Weekend at Bernie's, maybe, playing out on a national scale. There was a big story, I'm sure you saw it. Was it the WAPO or some one of the Waystream publications anyway, first out with it, that she was spotted by one reporter going to a play in her honor, some bogus thing in Washington, and everybody said, oh, she looks so good. Now, no photos taken of her. Nobody actually corroborates the story. She may or may not have been alive. Was it a body double? We don't know. But I even saw some comics later on of an empty chair in a theater where all these people were saying, oh, Ruth, you look so good. And this is the story in America. If a Supreme Court justice dies, we don't hear about it.
You bring out the idea of a body double. Where would they find one that was a body double that was still alive? That's still a problem.
Yeah. Well, the point is, and I think, well, there's a lot of points here, but things have gotten to the point where literally people, we don't trust the reporting. We know that half the time, if not more, they're lying through their teeth. They have an agenda here. They're not about to admit that Ruth Bader Ginsburg may be dead. She may be on life support. We don't know, but one thing we do know is there's no proof of life, and the WAPO tried to provide it, and they got called out, and people aren't believing them. So if they intend to destroy Trump soon, no wonder they want to keep, keep her corpse on ice for a while, or whatever it is.
Well, the word is core, not corpse. No, just kidding. But the point is once again, it doesn't matter because her rulings and her opinions will still issue forth through her law clerks, through her, not law clerks, but through her clerks, and we'll still get them.
Yeah,
the question is there anybody in there?
Is anybody home? Well, you could ask that about most of Congress. Is anybody home? There's a song from the 1776 musical that John Adams sang. Is anybody there? Does anybody see what I see? And I can't help but think that's true. I was considering doing a joke news story, Tim, a week or so ago, dated May of 2029. Ruth Bader Ginsburg still issuing orders from the, ad abstentia for the court. 2055, yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. 2079, Ruth Bader Ginsburg doing this and that. Nobody will have any way of knowing.
Well, we do. I've seen a number of humorous memes and so on, where they've got a picture of someone from the back of somebody, say, running through a park or so on and saying, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was spotted jogging in Central Park.
I already did the story from Saturday Night Live, if you remember that, with Chevy Chase. Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. And they can say it about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right. Yeah, well, except she's still alive. And as you say, she could be the longest serving Supreme Court justice ever in another 50 years.
Well, all right. And the point is, who knows? You simply cannot trust what we hear anymore. This at least was funny. Let me change gears, but not a lot. The socialist communist governor of New York, the evil Andrew Cuomo, made a pilgrimage to the White House, can you imagine this, to beg the president for money. Because New York State has realized, oh, they're a few billion dollars short in their budget, too. And I like this. The Red State called it a self-inflicted shotgun blast to the feet, amplified by new caps on the amount of state and local taxes that can be deducted from federal income tax. And this was a clever headline, I'll give it that anyway. Cuomo pleads for Big Brother bailout. Trump tells him to frack off.
Well, it's possible. Now, I've got a story here from USA Today that says Supreme Court Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg returned to work on Friday. That would be today for the first time since December.
Did she look younger? I bet she looked 20 years younger and 20 pounds lighter, just like Hitler's double did.
Well, actually, she looks surprisingly like Elizabeth Kagan. But it's pretty astounding. So, the headline is Liberals Relax. So I don't think it was just liberals. I think it was everybody. But anyway, so she went back to work today. Good for her, you know. Maybe she can do something useful.
Tim, I haven't seen the story. So
I just pulled it up.
Yeah, I don't know, and my immediate reaction is I'm not sure if I believe it. I'd want to see a second source. I'd sure like to see photos. I wouldn't mind seeing a DNA test or something else, because we're at that point where so much of what we've been seeing is such a big lie that people are right to doubt it.
When they pull the vinyl mask or the latex mask off of Heather Locklear and find out it's, you know, that it really isn't Ruth,
or it's Tom Cruise in the Impossible Missions Force.
Well, that happens a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't wish anybody bad health, but I just wish she would have the sense to quit while she's able to.
If there had been integrity, that would have probably been the case. And, that's not what's going on here. But we don't expect integrity anymore. We don't even expect honesty anymore.
Well, it's what Byron White did, you know, and good old Colorado Wizard White, he was one of the liberal judges too, but he at least knew when it was time to go fishing or elk hunting or whatever you guys do in Colorado.
Okay. Well,
I've hit all the big lakes in Colorado, and that took 20 minutes.
Never mind. Let's change gears a little bit more. We have the public-private partnership kind of continues. Russian authorities make deal with Google, it says. Gulag is the way I like to pronounce that. Russian reports say Google has agreed with national authorities there to delete links to websites that are banned in Russia. This is the same Gulag that has been in bed with Big Brother Communist China for a long time. So, if you need your Big Brother fix, your public-private partner, Google is willing to do it with all kinds of communist agencies. Why not? Since they seem to be a CIA-funded operation from the start, why not go and do it with all the other nasty organizations worldwide?
Google gets a lot of, just as they do here, get a lot of advertising from Russian advertisers and from Russian data mining outfits. So they don't want to lose that business. So in order to not lose the business, they'll acquiesce to, taking out a couple of those little Samizdat sites, you know?
I don't think it requires that much of an arm twisting with Gulag. I think actually they're probably going to the Russians and saying, hey, you want us to delete some more sites? Look here, we've got a whole list of conservative Russian sites that we'd like to see banned.
Well, up until November, I had a very good friend in Moscow who was actually, at one time, she was the chairman of the Communist Party, the Young Communist Party in Georgia, I believe. But she became a, she took a couple trips to the U.S. to do propaganda work, and kind of became a disciple of the American way of doing things. And
did you help?
As best I could. So, yeah, she we talked, we met here. I took her to Oshkosh, in fact.
Well, that might do it.
Well, she worked for Sukhoi at the time, too. So
okay.
She actually worked for the government at Sukhoi. So she was kind of the, you know, the fly on the wall. So she was more or less a double agent by that time. You know, not in a very formal or high level way, but it was pretty astounding. She passed away of cancer in November.
Okay. But, I was afraid maybe you're going to say they caught her and they sent her off to the gulag, but
no, they caught her and gave her cancer. But I don't know what happened to poor girl. But in any event, she pointed out that, you know, Putin himself has changed in enormous ways since he, you know, was first in the KGB, or ran the KGB. Then he became everybody's favorite uncle and became, you know, got in power. And then he kind of reverted back to the KGB ways. But also, and probably a lot of the listeners don't know this, Putin is probably the wealthiest person on earth.
Well, and, certainly one of them.
He's certainly in the top 10. But, you know, he didn't get that way on his presidential salary either. You know, he doesn't even have a charitable foundation.
Did she believe that his religiosity was honest or just a ruse? I'm curious.
Never came up. But she says that he understands capitalism probably better than any other Russian. So, I'm not sure that's a good thing or not. I mean, John Gotti was a pretty good capitalist too.
So many are, and I'll say this for Putin at the risk, you know, I mean, yes, he's a murderer, yes, he's a killer, you know, that simply qualifies him to be head of the FBI or head of the Dixie Mafia or something, but at least he comes across as being more honest than, say, Obama or Hitlery or Andrew McCabe or James Comey or William Barr.
Well, of course, he doesn't have anyone to answer to.
Yeah, that helps.
Who's still alive. So he doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to do that. He can be quite straightforward, quite honest. He doesn't even have to wear a shirt, you know. So, you know, he can do pretty much what he wants, and there's no reason he shouldn't be honest about it. What I really do get a kick out of, though, is watching him in these high-level summits where he was with President Obama, and somebody had to remind Obama that, yes, you know, Putin actually does know English. The translator is pretty much window dressing.
That's right. He probably speaks as good English as Obama does Arabic. Okay. Well, we got less than 30 seconds left. I'll mention one more story that represents a whole bunch of stories on the suppression of information front. Evil YouTube, says a piece from Mike Adams, Natural News, announced yet another plan to halt people from discovering all kinds of videos. They call them conspiracies, of course, if they have to do with things like holistic cancer cures, natural medicines, or heaven forbid, poisons that might be located in vaccines. So on every front, we're seeing the curtain begin to come back down if people aren't careful. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for being with us, folks. Shabbat shalom.